Light shine. And what I was thinking about since I started the series was, how is it, Lord, that you use our life? How is it, God, that you actually work through us and use us to, so to speak, share your word with somebody else, share the gospel with somebody else? And I was reading a story about a church in Brooklyn. That's a very famous church today. Have a very famous choir called the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And maybe you've heard them sing before and so forth. And the pastor was sharing a story about a young gal that grew up in Australia. And she grew up in a family that was a hippie-type family in the 60s and 70s. And basically, it was sex and drugs and rock and roll. That was her family. And there was always partying going on and all kinds of stuff going on in her family at home. And that's what she grew up in, was a very, very dysfunctional type of family, actually. And a lot of sex and this and that and the other thing right before her eyes as a young girl growing up. So at 17, she decided that, you know, she was going to go to work, get some money, and then she was going to leave home and travel the world. And that's exactly what she did. She and another girl took off and they went on a trip around the world. She ended up in New York City. And while they're in New York City, why, she went from one guy to the next, so to speak, and from guys that were doing drugs and were thieves and this and that and the other thing. And finally, she ended up with a gentleman that owned a restaurant. And so she ended up being the manager because she was sleeping with the owner. And that got her into a managerial position. And then she was going to a martial arts class, and while at that martial arts class, she met a gal from that church. And the lady said to her, you ought to come and visit our church sometime, and so she did. Just a thought, come and visit our church. So she went one Sunday, and she was sitting in the service, but she had to get up and leave early because she had to go to work. So she left that service, but next Sunday she said, I'm going back because something about that church and that service touched her heart. And they were talking about forgiveness, and it really ministered to her. So she went back the next Sunday, and when the pastor gave the altar call, down she came. And I mean, she ran through people to get down to the altar, just crying and bawling, and really got touched by the Lord. Got just totally, her life got really revolutionarily changed. Well, to make a long story short, she ended up beginning to really serve God. She got the word in her. She started her own business as a trainer and just got her life totally changed around. But here's my point. This lady didn't try to lead her to Christ right there in the class, just invited her to come to church. She came to church and look what happened because somebody shared something with her. And the thoughts that have been coming to me from the Lord is there's something in us that has to get out of us. But if it doesn't get out of us, it doesn't do anybody any good. If we really do have the likeness and the image of Jesus in us, then somehow we got to be able to say, Lord, show me how to release that to somebody else so that they can be touched by what I know to be the truth. I think there's a lot of people today, if I might say, that go to church, that are religious, but don't really know the Lord. I mean truly know the Lord. They know about him, they want to be good, but they've never really had a real experience where the very nature of Christ has come into them and literally changed their life. Because I believe this, when the Lord comes in, if we allow him to, he will change our life. There will be a time of our really changing from one realm to the next. What does it really mean when the Bible says to change from glory to glory? As I've given to you the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says we'll be transformed and we'll be changed from glory to glory. That doesn't mean a thing to us unless there's something about that that we can identify. And what does this from glory to glory really mean to us? Well, what it means is this, is that you don't really know the Lord, you don't really come to know the Lord until you have seen the hand of the Lord in your life. And when you see the hand of the Lord working in your life, you know that he's worked in your life. And when you know God has truly done something in your life that has really impacted your life, you have something to share. I got a baby back there preaching with me today, huh? So, you know, this thing about God working in us and His divine nature in us and the changing aspect of it, we have to believe it and be willing to receive it. Amen? And if we believe it and are willing to receive it, then what happens to us is people's lives get changed around us. Amen? So think about this now with me, because I'm just going to kind of repeat something for a minute here. The Bible says that you have many wonderful promises that have been given to you. And it goes on to say in 2 Peter there, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that not only that, but you've received His divine nature. What does it really mean to receive the divine nature of Jesus in your life? If it's really in there, what is that in us then that God has put in us that can affect other people's lives? Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't wait to hear this. Good, I'll tell you now. Look with me, if you would, to a scripture in the book of John. It's John 14, 12 through 14. And I want to challenge you with a thought this morning about this scripture. And I want you to put your thinking cap on and think about what this says. You've heard this scripture before, but what does it really mean to us today? Okay? John 14, 12 through 14 says, most assuredly, who's speaking here? Jesus. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, say it real loud, also, and greater works than these he will do. What does it say there? Greater works? Okay. Greater works, who's he talking to here? Do you think he's really talking to us? How many believe he's talking to us? How many are not sure? Okay, everybody didn't get their hand up, all right. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. What good is, if he goes to his Father and he leaves the earth, then he's not here. So he's someplace else. What good does that do us? His disciples were really upset with him because he told them that. Peter got mad at him. He said, Lord, you can't go away. You can't die. This can't happen to you. You can't leave us. And so they were really shook up at him because he was talking like this. In John's 13, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to him about his death. Go on. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does he mean by that? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray. Father, help us today to understand your word, because God, there's something you want to say to us prophetically that will help us, God, to be the people in this hour that you want us to be. Guide us this morning, Lord, and help us to be able to think these things through and see them in the Spirit. I ask, Holy Spirit, you come, because you're the illuminator. You're the one that gives revelation. Help us to see and understand what Jesus is saying to us here, especially in this hour that we live in this country. In your name we pray. Amen. All of you realize, I hope, that in our country today, there's a major change going on. And the change that's going on is in every way trying to silence the voice of God's people. And in every way, judicially, they're trying to stop us from being able to share, to pray, to read the Bible, to say what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They don't want us to be able to articulate what we believe this scripture says. And so Romans, the first chapter, when it talks about homosexuality there, it's talking to us as the church saying, look, this is what the Bible says. And we have no choice whether my brother, my sister, or somebody else, I mean blood family, are in that persuasion. We have no choice but tell them, hey, this is what the Bible says. It's not that we go after them, to hate them, to get bitter at them, to fight with them. That's not the way you win them anyway. Jesus said, not Jesus, but the Word says, love covers a multitude of sins. We have to know how to love in a way to impact their lives. Amen? How did Jesus impact people's lives? Through love. He came to them with forgiveness and love. And that's the way we have to come. So we have no choice but to stand on the Word of God and to take a stand for what we believe. And some situations in our country, all we can do is pray. But prayer works. Amen? And if we're in the last of the last days, we're going to be challenged as the people of God. Are you with me? We're going to be challenged for what we believe. And we're going to need to know what we believe. And that's why the Truth Project on Wednesday nights is so good, is because he's giving you food for thought, ammunition to deal with these kind of things. That's why it's such a good series. So I hope you can come and get in on the rest of it, because it really does give you something to think about and something to put to work in your personal life. What good are we, church, if we don't have a testimony? Amen? I was talking to a young man the other day. Sandy and I, as you know, went out to the Palm Springs area, and we were staying out there. And the guy that was waiting on us, his name was Joshua. And so I was talking back and forth with this guy, and he's in college. And I just talked to him about his personal life and whatnot a little bit. And so I asked him, what's your religious background? He says, I'm Catholic background. I said to him, well, do you go to church? He says, well, on Easter and Christmas. Hello, are you there? I said, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, well, would you call yourself a practicing Catholic? He says, not really. He said, and so we got to talking back and forth about that. And I said, well, were you then baptized as a baby in the church? Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something, church. That is a lot of people's religion or religious feelings, is that they got baptized into a church, therefore that's it. That is not it. I doubt very seriously whether this young man knew the Word of God hardly at all and what it really says. And I didn't try to, at that immediate time, go after him about any of that. I just was sharing with him. But I'm saying to you, church, this is a time you better know what you believe. This is a time when the DNA of Christ has to come out of you. And if Jesus said, greater works shall you do, what does that really mean to us as God's people? What did he do? He walked on water. He healed the sick. He loved the sinner. Amen. He cared about people. He had compassion on people. Amen. He was tender towards people. He loved people. He loved them right on into the kingdom if he could. And that's what we got to do. Amen. We have to do the same thing. But we also got to have a testimony. We have to have seen the hand of God in our life some way. The greater works is what? How long was Jesus actually in ministry? How many years? 3.5 years at the most. 3.5 years. John said if the Bible could contain all he did and said, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. But Jesus says to us, you can do greater works. Why? Because he said, I go to the Father in heaven. And because I go to the Father is glorified in the Son. How is the Father, our Father in heaven, if we have our Father's DNA, how is it glorified in us? How does God work through us? How does the glory of God actually come through us? Does that mean you go down to the hospital down here and you walk in there and you go from bed to bed touching people and they rise up and jump up and begin to walk? Hello, is that what it means? Wouldn't that be nice? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Walk in and you see these people very ill and say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. The stuff pops off of them and up they get, you know? That would be great. We know it doesn't quite work like that. But Peter and John came to a place by the temple called the Gate Beautiful. There's a guy there lame from his birth whom Jesus walked by many times and did not heal. Not everybody in Israel got healed by Jesus, by the way. This is one proof right there. Are you with me? Why some people get healed and some don't, I have no idea, till we get to him in heaven and we'll ask him. Amen? We'll find out there. But what Peter did was this. And this is an example for us out of the book of Acts, which is really the acts of the Holy Spirit. But how was it these unlearned fishermen could go and do what they did? They weren't trained in college. They didn't go through grammar school. They didn't go through junior high. They didn't go through high school. They're unlearned fishermen, the Bible says. How is it then that they were able to do what they did? And so Peter sees this guy. He's down there by the gate. He can't walk. Everybody's seen him for years. They've come to Jerusalem for years. Here's this guy begging for alms. He wants some money. And Peter looks at him and says, this is where your testimony comes in. This is where our testimony comes in. Is God real to you? Is he real to you today? Is he real to you right now? If he is, you have a testimony. You have something to share. And so Peter looks at the guy, seeing the guy's got his hand out. He wants some money. Peter says, I don't have any money to get. I've got no silver, gold. I don't have a dollar. That isn't worth very much today, probably. But he said, what I have, I'm going to give you. Well, I tell you what, I'd want what Peter was about to give, wouldn't you? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, grab the guy's hand, rise up and walk. And the minute he grabbed that guy's hand, what happened? Strength came into his legs. He jumped up immediately, began to run around, jump, and all the rest. And what a testimony. I mean, everybody was excited about what just had happened. Next couple of chapters, what happens to the disciples? You remember? They immediately got persecuted. Their faith got tested, bang, just like that. This is what was said to them. You better not testify anymore about this Jesus, or we're going to throw you in prison. How many of us today are going to be prepared if they tell us we can't preach this word, and we do, to go to prison? Oh, people are raising their hands out there. I haven't raised mine yet. I'm not ready to challenge the enemy yet. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you? Because they, the disciples, were going against the group that did not believe in Jesus. And all through the book of Acts, you see the persecution of those that should have known better, persecuting those who had the truth of God in them. Amen? What is this greater works? What is this greater works that... How many of you here would say, Pastor Dave, I really do know Jesus. Let me see your hand. You think you really do know the Lord? Okay, most of you think you really know the Lord. Okay? So now I'm saying to you, the Father in heaven is your Father. Therefore, you have the DNA of Christ in you. Therefore, based on the Word of God, it says you can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens you. But you can do the greater works also. Isn't that what it said? Greater works. Okay. How long have you lived so far on this earth knowing Jesus? And how many greater works have you done since you've known Jesus? Are y'all still breathing out there? Okay. And what did he mean by the greater works? And what did he mean that when you ask him, he will do it? What did he mean by all that? Is he talking about an instantaneous boom, boom, boom stuff happening just like that? No, I don't think so. I think what he's talking about is the faith that's in your heart, that when the time is right and God's going to use your life to touch somebody else's, you're ready to do it. Amen? You're ready to do it. It's not that you're going to be walking up to everybody, immediately telling them and confronting them. It's as you're going into the store, at work, or wherever it is, with your family, at Easter, at Christmas, or whatever, all of a sudden God gives you the opportunity to talk to somebody about your testimony, about what God has really done in your life. And you know they're hungry and they're looking. That young lady who experienced the Lord there in Brooklyn, who had had a life full of this and that and the other thing of sin, all of a sudden, her heart was hungry. She tried Buddhism. She tried yoga. She tried self-help books. She tried everything. And she walked into a service and felt what? The glory of God. The presence of God. That's what changes us, church, is the presence and the glory of God. It's not a nice church service. it's not a nice choir singing or the instruments playing. It's more than that. It's actually the presence of the Lord that we have experienced that we know is real. Do we all have seasons, what we call dry seasons? Yes. We've all had them when we don't feel anything in particular. But that's the time you got to go back to this. That's the time you got to go back to the times God bailed you out. That's the time you got to go to the time when you know you met Jesus and you know he was real. And you say, I'm not giving that up. Amen? I'm not surrendering that. That's what causes my brother Al Jones, who has a beautiful ministry in hospitals and visiting the sick, to go in there and to pray for people because he has a testimony. He knows God's real. He knows Jesus can do it. And he has a wonderful ministry, just a real faith of going in and ministering to people. And God gives us that kind of a quickening in our hearts and our minds to minister to people. And we don't all have the same exact kind of ministry because we don't all have, we all came different ways. You understand what I'm saying? But however you came is God's way he brought you. And there isn't anything God can't do through your life if you let him. But we have to allow it to happen. Amen? For the light to shine out of us, there has to be a testimony. There has to be something there in you that says, this is real and I know it and I'm not giving up on it. Amen? I know people that have fought and fought and fought over situations in their lives and hung on and hung on and hung on and hung on because that's what they felt God told them to do. In relationships where there was a partner that was not a Christian that created all kinds of problems, you know, the Lord told them to stay in it, and they did, and in 20 years, God changed the situation. I've seen that in a family in our church some years ago here, where a wife was a wonderful Christian lady, had served God for many, many years. Her husband didn't like church, didn't want to go to church. He was kind of a cantankerous old guy. You know, he kind of didn't like this, didn't like that, find fault with everything. How many of you know people like that? Find fault with everything. Nothing's ever good enough. This guy, nothing was ever good enough for him. He came one Sunday in the early 80s, got impacted by the Lord and got saved, eventually got filled with the Holy Spirit, later on, some years later, became one of our deacons in our church. A wonderful couple in our church that served the Lord for many, many years. God is able to do that. Another family in the church some years ago, the wife came all the time, all the time. She was kind of the preacher type, but her husband, you know, he was a laid-back type, and he didn't want any of this Jesus stuff or, you know, this religious stuff, and he didn't want to come to church. And one Sunday, he came to church. After years of struggling with this situation, he came to church. They used to sit right over here. And he came to church, and that Sunday morning, he got touched. From then on, he was in church every Sunday. Isn't God good? You never know when it's going to happen. Amen? But if you sow the seed, it's God's seed, and something good is going to happen. It may not happen immediately, but keep sowing. Are you with me? Because God's word is what? Powerful. God's word empowers. It changes. It really does. It changes people's lives. Think of this guy named Peter. In the Second World War, he lived in Holland. At 16 years of age, they were under the Nazi occupation. One Sunday, he got this anointing come on him, and he decided he was going to do something that he wasn't supposed to do. He goes up and gets on the organ and begins to play the Dutch national anthem. Everybody stands, and they all begin to sing it. There's a Dutch lady over there. They all begin to sing the national anthem. I mean, everybody was excited in church. They stood, and they were, you know, they were just giving it all they got. Well, somebody told on him. They came and got him. They put him in a concentration camp at 16. So he stayed in a concentration camp the rest of the war until he was brought out. They didn't kill him. When he got out, what Peter did was he realized God was working in his life to forgive those people who had turned him in. And he said, you know, God's forgiveness is greater than my hatred for these people. And I'm going to forgive them. And the hatred left him. And he began to travel and speak and preach in this area of God's love and God's forgiveness and dealing with hatred. In those days, that particular family saved a lot of Jewish children who were in orphanages there in Holland, and they began to adopt them and hide them out. And that's what they did through the whole wartime until they were captured, most all of them. But these kids' lives were spared because they lived with Dutch people. Towards later on in Peter's life, he was in Israel. And while he was in Israel on a pilgrimage and in ministry over there, he got sick and had a heart attack. They took him to a hospital. While he was in the hospital, his name, all of a sudden, Peter Timboom, like Corey Timboom's brother, okay, he's in this hospital, and guess what happens? A doctor comes to him and says, "Hey, is this really your name?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Was your family this family there in Holland?" "Yes." He said, "I was one of the little children, one of the little babies that was adopted by your family and saved." This guy was a cardiologist. This guy is the one that saved his life. Interesting, huh? Throw the bread on the water, it returns. Amen? You sow in a righteous way, you're going to get a return. Why? Because God said so. Because Jesus went to the Father in heaven and said, "This is what I'll do for you. I'm going there, but I'm sending someone else to help you here." Guess who that someone else is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have someone that's working with you and in you that can empower your life, and you can handle what you don't think you can handle. There are some of you here today in this service that God has His hand on your life, and in the days ahead, because of the things that are coming down, God's going to use your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, God's going to use your life. Why? Because you have something in you that's anointed, that's powerful, that God can use. You would say, "Pastor, you don't understand me. You don't know about me. You don't know what's wrong with me." Doesn't matter. I don't need to know. He knows, and He knows how to take care of it. Amen? I don't care how much wrong you've done, or how much ill has happened to you, or how difficult it is right now. God still can use your life. Paul in prison says, he said, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. He says, "I'd rather die and go to heaven, but for your sake," he said, "I'm going to stay alive right now." That's quite a testimony. He said, "I'm not going to die yet. I'm going to hang in here with you folks." He says, in Philippians, you can read in the book of Philippians. He said, "I'm going to stay here with you for a while." Why? Because he had seen the glory of the Lord, and he wanted others to experience it. You have something good in you. You have something powerful in you. You have something God can use. Don't ever sell short the DNA of the Lord that is in you. He said, "I'll make you in my likeness and my image." Amen? He said, "I'll give you my spirit. I'll be your Father in heaven. I'll do for you what needs to be done. Don't get weary in well-doing. Hang in there." Amen. For the Lord is about to break through. Yes. And sometimes when it gets the darkest and everything seems like it's closing in you, that's when you know God's about to burst through. Isn't that true? Because the enemy is coming in and he's doing everything in his power to get you, but God is going to raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Sakatuya, right? There's a lot of people that have it far worse than us, church, out there. You know? True? A lot of people have it far worse. people who don't even have a home, don't have a place to live. Some of them enjoy living on the street. Did you know there are 90,000 homeless people in L.A.? Isn't that something? They live down there on the streets of L.A., in those cardboard this and that's, and they got carts that they pull around with all their stuff in it. And, you know, that's the way they live. And some of them have gotten used to it. You know, we can get used to living in poverty. We don't need to. Your Father in heaven is very wealthy. The Holy Spirit is a great empowering surgeon. There isn't anything he can't do. But we have to get serious. Are you with me? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to the scripture that is the Hebrews 11:1 again. Let me just read this to you. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, but the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So don't try to get it by the senses. And in the book of Jude says this, contend for the faith. How do you contend? You fight. You resist the enemy. You fight with everything within in you that says, no, I'm not giving in. I'm not surrendering. I'm not giving in to the enemy. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I was watching some of the classical fights of the past. I'm not necessarily a boxing fan, but as I was watching the fight between two guys that fought, I think, three times, Muhammad Ali and Smokey Joe Frazier, they called him. Right? I think they had three fights. One of them had Muhammad Ali had a name for the one in Manila. I'm going to do something in Manila. Why am I telling you about this? Forgive me. Yeah. No, he would not give up. He was getting the daylights beat out of him. I mean, he couldn't see out of both eyes in this one fight. In round 14, he could not see out of either one of his eyes. In fact, in one of the earlier fights he had been in, his right eye had got impacted to such an extent he couldn't see out of it really good at all. And in this particular fight, in the middle rounds he was winning, in the latter rounds all of a sudden, Muhammad came alive and bang, 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 he was beating the daylights out of Smokey Joe. But Smokey Joe would not give up. He wasn't going to quit. He couldn't even see. And he wasn't going to. He's going to get back up in the 15th round and start a fight. Go back at it again. Muhammad Ali was so tired and so weary from popping this guy that he could hardly get off his stool. In fact, when the referee stopped the thing, when the guy's corner guy said, no, he's not going to go anymore out there. He's liable to get killed this time. Smokey Joe still wanted to go. He didn't care. He said, I don't care if I die or not. Now that is tenacity. Contending for the faith sometimes, church, is where you finally say, I am not giving up. Amen? No matter what, I'm not giving up. I think I'm preaching to me here this morning. I couldn't believe it when I saw this, you know, what was going on there. So what was really funny was Muhammad Ali was so tired and so weary. Even though he got up and he fell flat on his back. Yeah, right after they said, you're it, and he tried to stand, bang, down he went. And later on, Smokey Joe was saying, well, he never really got me anyway. Look at him now. God is on your side. I want to give you one more thought about something. Where did Peter and John get the authority and the power to go touch this guy at the gate beautiful and see him get delivered? Where'd that come from? From where? The Holy Spirit. Right, that's right. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that same Holy Spirit can work in you? Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen to what he says. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. What does that word ignorant mean? Not knowing. He wants you to be aware. So I'm going to make you aware of something here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? To each one, or us, for the profit of everyone else. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things to who? Distributing to each one individually as he wills. Jesus said, you will do greater works in my name. Because I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes to go to work in us, is able to do something that we cannot do by ourselves. He is going to work something in you that will help you to accomplish something that you otherwise could not accomplish. And he calls it the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to contend for the fullness of the Spirit in your life. Because when it comes, there are 9 gifts that come with it. And these gifts are not natural, they're supernatural. They help you to do something because you have the DNA of Christ in you and you have the Father in you to do what you couldn't ordinarily do. And so when there's a need and it will profit God to see it happen, God will quicken you to do something you otherwise could not do. And it's called the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. How did Peter know that somebody came and stood before him and lied to him? Ananias and Sapphira. How did he know that he was being lied to about what they had sold and what they had given to the church because they hadn't given what they said they had given? And Peter somehow knew by the word of knowledge. It's called the word of knowledge. It's knowing facts about a situation that you otherwise would not know unless God revealed it to you. That's what it is. So when you're praying about something, you say, God, I need to know, I need to be aware. You can be praying because the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what that circumstance is. Amen? Why? Because he said he would do it. The manifestations of the Spirit are to profit with all, to help us, to empower us, so we can be used of God. We don't have to be anemic. We don't have to be weak. We don't have to be fed all the time on Pavlov or on baby food. We can grow up and say, okay, God, I'm ready. I want to be used of you, God. How is it that Peter, when he knew the guy had lied, also said to him, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And now you're going to die. He predicted the guy's death. How could he do that? Then in comes the wife, and she's telling the same lie, and again, he rebukes her, and he tells her the same way your husband was carried out, you're going to be. How did he know she was going to die and be carried out of there? By the word of wisdom, which tells you something about the future you otherwise would not know unless God revealed it to you. What is discerning of spirits? It's actually distinguishing between an evil spirit and a good spirit. Between angels and demonics. That's what it is. It's being able to know when something is not of God or it is of God. That is a gift from the Holy Spirit to us as a church. Are you with me? What is this kind of faith that's talking about? It's the gift of faith. It's not just working it up faith. It's when you need, boom, all of a sudden you need faith and boom, there it is. And you know that you can do something you otherwise could not do. That's that kind of faith. What are miracles? It's something being done out of the natural that's done in the supernatural. What are gifts of healings? It's any kind of a healing that's needed. And God says, I want you to pray for that person because I'm going to touch them. And they receive healing as a result. Prophecy is speaking in a way that God uses you to encourage someone, bless someone in an inspirational way that you wouldn't know to do except that God gave you the quickening to do it. What is tongues? It's speaking in tongues in a way, in a service, in which there's interpretation where the Spirit of God wants to say something to us in that way. Those are all gifts of the Spirit that are still relative for today. They never went away, church. They never left. People say they did, but they did not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit never left. He never left the church, and he never meant for the church to not be empowered because we have the DNA of Christ in us. And Jesus said, the greater works you will have. Why? Because here's why. You will have the chance to live a lot longer than Jesus did in his ministry. Are you with me? You'll be here more than 3.5 years. So you've got plenty of chances to do the greater works. All you have to do is say, Lord, here am I, use me. Just begin to use me, God. Show me how to do this, Lord, so I can do it. Show me how this thing works so we can do it. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, in the Assemblies of God, as a kid growing up. I never did understand what I'm talking to you about. I never really understood it. It took me a long time to finally get to a place of understanding how God actually worked supernaturally through his people. As I studied it and looked at it back in the late 50s and the early 60s, and God began to reveal to me what this was all about, I began to study it very thoroughly. I studied about it for years. I studied on it, and I finally understood how the Holy Spirit used the disciples and others after them in the supernatural. How did it work? Because I never understood how it worked in the church. My dad used to give messages in tongues in church all the time, and the pastor would interpret it. But I never understood how it actually worked. Until God began to work it in me. God began to work it in me. And when he began to work it in me, then I started really understanding how this thing works. There is an impression that comes in your mind, in your heart. You know it's not from the enemy. You know it's from God because you know you're receiving something that otherwise you hadn't thought up. And it's a good deed. It's a good thought. It's a good thing that God wants you to do. And sometimes you can pray about it, wait on it until it comes to a place where you say, I know I got to do this. Because sometimes God is dealing with us for a little while to do something. He's speaking to us, telling us to do something, See, the Holy Spirit doesn't give up. Isn't that true? He keeps working on us until he gets us to the place where he wants us. And once he gets us there, man, watch out, because the Lord can take you to the next level. That's where you go from glory to glory. Because why? Because you experience the presence and the power of God in such a way that you know it's real. Amen? You just know it's real. But sometimes you have to take the step of faith to get there. You have to step out and do it. Amen? You can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. You sometimes have to take that step of faith and say, I'm going to do this because I know it's right. It's the right thing for me to do. I'm going to do this. If you're in a wrong relationship, you need to get out of it. Are you with me? If you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, you need to stop doing it. Amen? The Holy Spirit will show you. And the empowerment of God will come in you as a result of it, and you begin to touch other people's lives. And you begin to bring them to Jesus, and you'll plant the seed that God wants you to plant in somebody's life, like this gal that was in New York. That traveled all over the world looking for the answers. Thought you could find it in men, never could find it there. Thought it was in drugs, it wasn't there. Thought it was in self-help books, it wasn't there. Thought it was in martial arts, it wasn't there. Where was it? It was in Jesus. She went to a church that believed in the power of God. And sitting in that church, she experienced the power of God. And brothers and sisters, we have to experience the power of God. That's what I covet, is the presence of the Lord. Because that's where you get touched. And that's the kind of church this is. We believe in the power of God to change lives. God is able if you're willing. Amen? God is able if you're willing. The proposition is, if you're willing, God will do it. And I don't mean that you have to run out here all of a sudden, go to the corner with tracks or this. All you have to do is say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Show me someone, Lord, that I can share with, that I can reach, that I can minister to, that God wants me to minister to. Would you stand with me? There isn't anything too hard for the Lord. The Bible says there isn't anything too hard for the Lord. And if you have faith to believe for God to do it, you keep hanging in until it comes to pass. Because sometimes, church, sorry to say, I don't mean sorry to say, I mean, I want to just say to you, sometimes we have to contend and endure. Because not everything changes, boom, immediately. And usually God knows what he's doing when we're enduring. He's building us. He's building us. He's building us to have a strength we otherwise would not have. Amen? He's developing something in us. The pastor of this large church there in Brooklyn, Jim Cimbala, he talked about his early days as an athlete and how one of the coaches just worked them. He was a basketball player. Just worked them until their legs were so tired and they were so burning, the muscles and everything. Why? Because later on, when they got in the game and it came to the fourth quarter, they had energy that the other team never had. And so they completed the game in a way they otherwise couldn't have. And sometimes, hear me. Sometimes God allows us to have that same experience in the spirit so that when it comes to the fourth quarter, we got the energy to press on through. Amen? We don't give up. How many people have I seen give up because they weren't willing to go through what it took to get there and quit on the Lord? And they're out in the world today, not with Jesus today. But God wants to do something in your life today. I want to hear what the Spirit's saying. Let's pray. Father, to conclude this service, I ask for your Spirit to guide me and lead me in what you want us to do now. If my message has challenged you, and you say, you know, Pastor Dave, you challenged me, and I want to believe, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help thou my unbelief. And you're saying, I want to believe today, God, for your strength in my life. I don't want to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm trusting you, God, for strength in my life. Would you just slip out, come to the front so we can pray for you? Just slip out and come to the front. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask Ron and his wife, Yolanda, and others that are my altar workers to come. I want you to pray for these people. Slip out and come. You say, you know what? I need the faith to endure to make it. So altar workers, come on. Prayer counselors, come on. Come pray with these people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a step of faith to come sometimes and say, Lord, here am I. I'm making a commitment to you, Lord. I'm going to take a stand, Jesus, for you. I want to see God work. There's a whole bunch of gals right here. June, come and pray. Sally, come and pray for these guys. I want to pray for somebody in particular. Don and Ann. Dan and Ann. Come here. I want to pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just slip your hand out towards these folks? Thank you, Jesus. I feel good to pray for you guys. I was praying the other day. Boy. both came to my mind, and I just thought, okay, Lord, Father, you know about this couple. You know that you have your hand upon them, Lord. And Lord, you know exactly what you want to do with them in the days ahead. Lord, they have a future with you. There is something, God, in them in the days ahead that you're going to use, God. There's an anointing, Lord, there for both of them. And God, I know that you want to do something special through their lives. What I got in the spirit when I was praying for you guys, the Lord just kept saying, say to them, there's a great work yet to be done. There is yet a work to be done. And the Lord will show you, and the Lord will energize you to do it. He'll bring it to a place of observation so you will see it. Lord says you will know it. You'll know how to flow with it. And now, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. You just told me basically, God, to pray for them and to bless them. And I do that today, Jesus. And I pray strength upon them, wisdom upon them, God. Whatever this is that you want to do, God, you'll reveal it in due season. You'll cause it to be seen, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For the lost souls, God. That God, for whatever way, whatever reason, you never touch through them. Oh, my gosh, I bless them in your name, Jesus. I thank you, God, for them being a part of our fellowship in us. Just, Lord, just the way you want to use them here, we recognize. The things you want to do through their lives here, God, in the church. Amongst this group of people, God, we recognize that. We just receive that also, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you guys. I want to say one more thing to you. Don't be, how do I want to say this, Lord? Don't be shocked at what God's about to do in our lives, in the life of this church. Get ready. Just begin to prepare your heart. For the Lord is doing a work in us at this time. In this church, in this body that he's brought together to do a special work. So don't be shocked at what God begins to do through you, how God begins to use your life. Amen? Just be ready. You know, just get ready. Just make your heart ready. Say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm open. I'm willing. I'm just willing. Would you mind just looking up to heaven for a moment and say, Father in heaven, I'm willing. Just say that. Just open your heart, your hands to the Lord and say, Father, I'm willing. Whatever that means, God, I'm willing. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm willing. I'm open, Lord, for whatever that is. Whatever you mean, Lord, that's where I'm at. God, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. Fill me with your spirit. Just tell the Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your anointing, God. Fill me with your power, God. Fill me, God, with the new anointing, God, to encourage us, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, in a new and a fresh way, God. Give us a fresh Pentecost, Lord, a fresh outpouring, Lord. Remove out of us, God, the darkness. Remove out of us, God, the hang-ups. Remove out of us, God, things that have hindered us, Lord. Reveal those things to us, Lord. Reveal them to us, Lord. Cause us, God, to be open to you, Lord. To open to your spirit, open to your heart. Open to what your thoughts are to us, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We exalt your name together, Lord. Thou art blessed. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the dynamic presence of your Spirit that can change what we cannot change. And we speak to the mountain, as you said, to speak to that mountain. We speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. And to those obstacles, Lord, that would want to hinder us, God. And we say, God, remove that mountain in the name of Jesus. Quicken our faith, Lord. Quicken our faith, God. To believe you, God, for the impossible. To believe you for what you said is ours. To see it come to pass, God, because you're speaking it in our heart, Lord. You said, have the faith of God. Then you said, speak to that mountain. And he said, if you believe, you shall receive what you asked for. So, Lord, quicken our faith. Bring us to that place where we can see it happen, Lord. Where you begin to unfold it before us, God. Where you take care of those situations, God, that we cannot take care of. Those circumstances, God, that we can't change, you can change, Lord. Hoto rabashato ko rababasat ramamadaya. Reto ko shabato rababapasiki ye lamamahosai. Yeshohoko, yea, there's nothing too hard for me, the Lord says. Nothing too hard. Take the judgments off of us, God. Take the judgments off, God. Place on us the blessing, Lord. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, anything else? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Next Sunday morning, if you can pay a little price, come at 9 o'clock for prayer. We'll pray from 9 to 9:30. Come for a half an hour of prayer. Ask the Lord if he wants you to be here. And then come and join us for prayer. Let's see what God has for us, amen. Sometimes when it costs you something to do something, there's always a blessing behind it, amen. I just want to bless you. Pray that God will use you, and this week especially, unique things will happen in your personal life. God will do some special things for you. So just be open to it. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Go and have a great day.